streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call
me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guest is Ms. Sharnay Lathan. Sharnay is a comedian, a social advocate, and a spokesperson. But tonight, she's talking about her life, her challenges, and dealing with being raped, drugged, and abused by her father for 18 years. Sharnay says, I was raped, beaten, drugged, and brainwashed by my father for 18 years. I repressed my memories, unaware of my childhood trauma. This protected me from the traumatic experiences my mind did not want to recall. I did not protect my siblings from the same danger. My father used his intelligence to enslave my siblings and I in his illusion. As he grew his million-dollar empire built on lies, scams, and deception, I sought therapy. As I worked through my repressed memories, I unraveled the truth. I realized what was to be feared most would be my silence. So I decided to make a report, and on Thanksgiving Day 2012, I went and made that report. Sharnay has started Through a Child's Eyes, Who Cares, Inc., raising awareness of child safety and preventing child abuse. And we'll talk a little bit more about her website when we bring her on. But before we do that, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody that tunes into the radio show every Wednesday night. And just keep tuning in for good things.
All right, we're going to bring Sharnay on the line. And Sharnay, are you there?
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me tonight.
Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. You know, you have a powerful story. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to doing the show with you guys. I'm excited.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to it for a while. We've been talking about it for a while. I'm talking with you a lot about what's going on in your life and different things that you've been through. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about what your life was like growing up and what you've remembered.
Well, I was raised by my father. My parents were married at a time. And then my mom divorced my father, and he obtained custody of me. My youngest memories of my father was just Rebel was playing various games that all included sex abuse of various nature. I lived with him until I was 18 years old. I repressed those memories. I went to therapy at 19 years old, and I'm now 31. I've been in therapy ever since, dealing with the emotions of denial and repressed memories and acknowledgement, and I'm still going through the various stages of the healing process and the grieving process. So I think I'm at that stage when you just tell everybody, except I took it literally and really just told everybody. So I have a lot more stages to go through, but I'm looking forward to the experience of being able to grow and allow myself to be a better mom and be able to really change my community in this process.
Right. And you have been going through it for a long time. I mean, you've been in therapy for quite a few years already before you actually did start, you know, telling everybody. But that's part of the process of healing, is being able to talk about it and share that. And as a spokesperson and advocate, You know, that's what you're doing. You're spreading that message that, you know, we're not going to be silent. We're not going to allow you to continue abusing children and controlling people. We're taking a stand, and we're going to speak out about it.
Exactly.
So what made you, what got you to the point of going to therapy, and how did you realize that you had all these repressed feelings and emotions?
There was various things that I knew took place in my childhood, but I didn't understand how my father could abuse me to accept it as a reality. But when I was 19, I was attacked at college, and that particular event when I was in college triggered so many repressed memories of significant things that took place in my childhood. And all those different things was rushing to me at once. I was away at college. I was alone. I had no family near me. I was not in therapy, had never been to therapy. And I was dealing with all of these different things that my mind did not want to accept. I did not want to accept the idea that my perfect dad had abused me in any kind of way. So at 19, I started going to therapy because I knew something was wrong with me. And that's what I told them. I said, something is wrong with me because I'm seeing images of things that I know can't be true because I don't want it to be true. But I was about to have my first child, and I was afraid that the things I was seeing in my head could be real. I was afraid that the things I was seeing in my head was more abusive than the things I knew took place. And I just knew I needed to go to get help. I knew I wanted to be the best mom I could be. I knew I did not want to raise my child as a lunatic and, you know, just a ranting, crazy person. So I went to therapy and I stayed in therapy. And I've been in there ever since I was 19 years old. And the further I went through the process of rehashing those repressed memories, the more comfortable I became with accepting that this really was my life and being able to accept that my father truly is a pedophile and that all those things was my childhood. So it's been a long process. And I have a long way to go still. I still am remembering things to this day that I did not remember before.
And can you tell us a few of the things that you remember about growing up? Did you have a lot of anger? Did you think that what you were going through was just normal? Everybody went through that? Or what were you thinking?
No, I never thought that it was normal to other people because I knew not to tell anyone. I knew that what was happening in my home was not normal, and I knew that it was not acceptable in society. I knew that it was normal in my home. It was normal in my family. Sex abuse on that side of the family by another family member was not unheard of. It was spoken about very often in my family. My grandmother spoke about when she was abused as a child. They spoke about how my aunt was abused. They spoke about how my great-grandmother was abused. Hearing about people being sexually abused as a child in my family was so common. The only thing that was not normal in my household or in my family was speaking about an action being taken against the abuser. I never heard the end result of what happened to the person who did this abuse. But through example, I learned what happened to the victim if they were to speak out. They would get backlash from the family. They would be exiled. They would be treated horrifically. If you were a child, you would be sent to a boarding school. I grew up with a lot of very bad examples of how to handle abuse in your home.
Well, what were some of the things first, why don't you tell us, you know, who was your abuser and maybe some of the things they did and some of the things that he told you to say or not to say.
Well, my abuser was my father, and we was trained very well. We were constantly being ridiculed if we did any type of action that someone could assume meant that you were going through something at home. Like, we were taught, you always look the person in their eye when they're speaking. You never cry unless it's for a specific reason. Like, if my father told us to lie about our mom and say that she's drugging us and different things, that was the only time when it was acceptable to be emotional. We learned how to fake it when child services came to our home, how to make sure that we always talked about loving moments with our dad and made sure that we always point out how happy we were and how loved we were and how we had everything that we needed and how we hated all these different things about my mom that weren't actually taking place in our lives. But in a home with a pedophile that's on their job 24 hours, most people don't understand that they're grooming that child 24 hours a day and they're training that child 24 hours a day on how not to get caught.
So tell us a little bit about your mom in this situation and was she around or what happened that you didn't tell her or, you know, what did she do about the situation?
My mom was in the home with me until I was about 4. She divorced my father when I was young. She lost custody of me during that divorce process because he was bruising me and dirtying my clothes, dirtying my hair, and then he would take me to family members and tell them that my mother did it. And because I never spoke up, they believed that she was abusing me, and they went to court and spoke against her. So she did not gain custody of me. I've never told my mom of the abuse as a child. I never told her of the physical abuse, the drug abuse. I never told her of any of the things that was going on. And the way my father raised me, I grew up with a distaste for my mother because my father raised me to believe that everything I was going through was because of her. He raised me to believe that I didn't have new school uniforms and different things that kids need to just feel comfortable around their peers because he made me believe my mother wasn't paying child support, which I found out was a bogus lie because she was paying over $600 a month. But I was never reaping the benefits of that financial support that she was taking care of. He made me believe that I couldn't go see her for my visitation because she didn't want to see me. But as an adult, I found out through court records, she was in court until I turned 18 years old, from the time I was 4 until 18, fighting the entire time to get me.
Wow.
I grew up with a very estranged relationship with her, for one, because my father kept me from her. When I was younger, he used to hide me at different places, and I remember her finding where we lived at and coming to the door, crying, begging for me, and I would be hiding behind the couch or hiding under the bed or hiding behind the curtain. And as much as I wanted to go with her when I was young, I knew I would get in trouble if I said something to let her know I was in the home hiding. But I knew my mother loved me. I just didn't understand. As a child, it's easy for you to be manipulated by an adult that is constantly telling you what they want you to believe. So if you're a child and you're constantly hearing the same story, the same excuses all the time, then you're going to start believing it because you're not old enough to know why would your parent lie to you? Why would my father lie to me? You know, he loves me, so I always believe what he told me. But as an adult, I've learned to appreciate my mother and love her because my mother never knew of any of the abuse, but my mother stayed in court until I was 18 years old fighting for me the entire time only because she knew I was unhappy. Even though I never said anything to her, she knew I wasn't happy, and that was enough for her to fight for me. And she's the best mother ever. You know, I feel everyone would be so lucky to have a mom or any parent like that who would fight for you no matter what just because they know in their heart that something's wrong.
So after you turned 18, whenever you left home, did you begin having a relationship with your mother?
Well, by the time I had turned, a few months before I turned 18, the court had awarded my mom a few months of allowing me to be able to live with her so that she could recover the lost visitations that she wasn't able to get me for. So in those few months, I was able to really see all that I was missing by not being able to have her in my life. You know, I'd already graduated from high school, and after I graduated from high school, she sat me down and she pulled out all these documents. And she told me that, you know, she never spoke bad about my father to me ever, but she said I was old enough to know what was really going on. She showed me the child support that she was paying all my life. She showed me the court records that she was fighting for me that entire time. I mean, by the time she finished showing me everything, I really understood that the only reason I didn't have a relationship with my mom was because my father hated her. After I lived with her for those few months, I saw everything that I was missing. And I told my father that I was finished with high school. I was going to live with my mom. She was going to get me an apartment, a car, pay my insurance, do everything to get me ready to prepare for the real world, go off to college and do all those great things. And when he found out that I was going to have a relationship with her, he told me, no, that's not happening. And he told me to pack me a bag because I was catching a plane to Georgia to live with his parents. And after going through that abuse with him, being 18 did not mean that I was grown. I didn't understand the idea of being grown or being 18 and being able to do what you wanted to do. I did what my father told me to do. And I packed that bag and I went where he told me to go. It wasn't until I had my first child at 19 that I started slowly making decisions for myself because I knew I had to make decisions for my child.
So you packed your bag and you went to Atlanta?
I'm sorry?
You packed your bag when he told you and you went to Atlanta?
Yes, I did. He told me to go stay with his parents in Georgia. He told me to go stay with his parents in Georgia, and that's what I did. I told my mom I wasn't allowed to stay with her.
And what did she say?
She told me everything that, you know, a normal person would say, that you're grown and you don't have to listen to him anymore. You can do what you want to do. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there to support you. And I told her again, my dad said no. And I went on that plane, and I went where he told me to go.
And when did she find out that you had gone through all that abuse for all those years?
My mom didn't find out. She didn't find out about any of the abuse that I went through until a short time frame before I made my police report. I started slowly telling her little things about 2 years ago, but I wasn't specific enough. So she thought I was just explaining to her that he was too strict, that he was too strict and didn't allow me to do things. But within the past 9 months, I went over everything with her that I went through, and she's my biggest supporter.
That's good. I bet even though she had no control over it, I'm sure she felt heartbroken.
Heartbroken would be an understatement. She was pissed. I mean, to explain how she felt is unexplainable. For any mom to find out that their child was being raped by the man that they married.
Right.
And had a child with. She felt responsible. She felt accountable. She felt like she wanted to do the unspeakable.
Right, of course. I think probably every mother that would get that information. I mean, there are some mothers that don't believe what their kids tell them. But, I think a lot of mothers would feel the same. They'd be pissed.
Exactly.
Wondering, what could I have done differently, or how could I have changed things, or just running, everything running through your mind.
I thank God for my mom every day, because although I've never told her, I can rest easy knowing that if I had mentioned anything, I wouldn't have went through one more second of that abuse. And unfortunately, every child can't say that.
Right. So who was the first person you told after counseling, and what kind of support did you get from your family?
I don't necessarily remember the first person that I told. I talked to various people in my family at different stages. I've been going through this since I was 19. So I've talked to the elders in my family. I've talked to, my fiancé, he's known since we've been in a relationship. But as of recently, I find more comfort in my mom's side of the family, because they're very supportive. But it's a difference in how my mom's side of the family handle relationships. On my mom's side of the family, although I know that the women in my family trust their husbands and their brothers and their uncles and different things, it's still certain things that they won't do. They won't let the kids go off with Uncle Mike or Cousin Pete or whoever that particular person may be. The women in that family are very protective of the children, but the men in the family are very active if there's any type of abuse or concern with the women in the family. And I take a lot of comfort on that side, because when they found out what was going on with me, I didn't just hear them saying they care. They showed me that they cared. They called. They checked on me. They asked me, what do I need? What can I do? And that's the men and the women on their side. And of the few incidents that I have heard of similar to abuse on that side, there was always a conclusion to the story. It was, you know, well, this happened to such and such, but this is what happened to the abuser. On my father's side of the family, there was never a conclusion to what happened to the abuser. There was never a repercussion or a consequence. It was just random events of abuse happening with no end to the agony.
Now, your case of abuse, though, wasn't the first abuse case in your family. You say that there were other members years ago that said that they were molested and family members just wouldn't have anything to do with that.
Right. I'm one of seven victims in my family that I know of. But when I was about 6 years old, a relative told my grandparents that they were being raped by my father. And my grandparents didn't check on me. They didn't ask me what was going on. They basically said that the things that they were told were so horrific and outlandish and unspeakable that it's no way in the world my father could have done those things. So they swept it under the rug. And they sent my cousin to a boarding school.
Wow. So nobody wants to believe it. Or they just don't want to
know. It's a big case of denial.
So what... Since you've come out, you know, and I know just recently you've been, you know, really sharing the story and getting it out to, you know, on the social media and making people aware. At this time, what have your family members, have anybody on your dad's side come up, you know, to help you or to back you up or to say, we know what happened?
No, the only person that has tried to do something was one of the victims. But as far as relatives on his side, I haven't received a phone call from someone checking on me. I haven't had a knock on my door to make sure that me and my kids are safe and aren't being harmed. Honestly, if it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't know what to think. You know, from the reaction that I received after I reached out to them and told them what was going on and asked for their support, I would have thought that whole side of the family dropped off the face of the earth. Because that's the type of response that I received. Nothing.
Wow.
But it's not unexpected. It's very common. Most cases when people, victims that are men, women, young and old, most cases when they are hesitant to come forward or if they never come forward at all, it's because of the backlash from their family. So what I experienced in my family is not unique. It's very expected. And I don't focus on them anymore. I try not to put my attention into them or even make it a conversation piece because if people focus on their families and what they're doing and what they're not doing, then people will never do what they need to do for themselves personally. So when I do my events with children and I have them take pledges of no secrets, I make sure I help them understand not just to tell their mom, their dad, their teacher, the doctor, or different mandated reporters, I teach those kids, you tell every single person you know. If someone harms you, you tell every single person you know because that first person may not help you. The second person may have a conflict of interest. The third person may not want to get involved. So I make sure that I tell them you tell every single person you know until you're safe.
That's right. You got to keep going. And young kids need to know that, that they could go for help. Talk to teachers, friends, friends' parents, you know, anybody that you can talk to. Let them know what's going on.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about what you're putting out on the media, what you want people to know about your case, and how can any of us help?
Well, that's a great question. I basically, 9 months ago, I made my police report about my abuser, about my father, in hopes that it would push an investigation, raise some questions, get the process started so that he could be jailed and kept away from children, and so that the children in my family can start getting the help that they need, so that the victims that he has abused can feel comfortable seeking help for themselves. I had no idea 9 months ago that I was going to have to beg and plead and cry and fight and scream and yell publicly just to get someone to notice how horrific the situation is. I had no idea that when I called my family for a family meeting to discuss the situation, I had no idea that not one person would show up. So without the support of family on that side, without the support of the police department to protect me, I was experiencing threats, harassment, promises of being hurt for me and my children. I was going through so much, all because I reported my abuser and didn't receive any support to protect us. After months of going through the harassment from him and my family, I felt suicidal. I was unraveling. I was at a loss for words for everything that I was feeling. But I was not prepared for reporting my father and then having to deal with him threatening me afterwards and not even being able to get a restraining order. Because my personal situation and the person who abused me owned the daycare center and had access to hundreds of kids. I had no idea that the police would not want to investigate it simply because it's an inconvenient case. This one case literally involves hundreds of children. And each child has two parents that brought them into this world. So if you take 300 kids, that's possibly 600 adults knocking on the police door asking questions. I had no idea that I would not get protection or support for coming forward and doing the right thing simply because this case is too big to even investigate. But that's the problem when you have various groups of people who are in place to support and protect children, but those various adults don't actually want to do their job. So by December, I felt suicidal. I was sending messages to my family asking them, please stop, please leave me alone. I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. And they would not stop. And then I contemplated on killing myself. And then I realized the only reason why I felt helpless was because I chose to be. I felt defenseless because I chose to not defend myself. I was being silent because I chose to be silent. And that's when I realized I have all the power. If I choose to accept the role that I have a voice. I can speak out. I can let him carry his own shame. I don't have to carry his shame anymore. So I went online and I created a blog. And I just start writing. And every time I receive a threat,
Charnay, I can't hear you. Check your mute button.
Sorry. I had decided that day that I was going to make it my job to raise awareness for child abuse. I was going to make it my job to reach out to the community to understand why it continues. Every single year, child abuse increased. Child abuse deaths increased. Human trafficking increased. Missing and exploited children increased every single year. But every year, technology becomes more and more advanced. So with the advancement in technology, you would think that we have better ways to catch and detect predators. That's not accurate because predators don't need technology to have access to our children. They're on their job 24 hours. They're professionals. We actually aid and abet predators being able to have access to our children because they're on their job 24 hours a day, but you have parents who won't take 25 minutes a day to teach their children about child safety. You have parents who won't take 25 minutes a day to teach their children about the grooming process and things to be aware of. But you'll have that same parent take 25 minutes to tape their child twerking and doing something inappropriate, and then they'll even go further to take time to put it on YouTube. But that same parent won't take time to sit their child in front of a documentary on the impact of abuse and how it can ruin their life. So I decided that I'm going to save my 7-year-old brother that my father has custody of. I decided that I wasn't going to be a part of the problem. I decided that I wasn't going to aid and abet a pedophile. I decided if he's going to be on his job 24 hours a day, then I'm going to be on my job 24 hours a day. And after I made my report, I was able to be myself. I was able to stop carrying his shame and do everything I can to get out here and really help the community. And I hope that I can help people understand we can't just have compassion for the victim. We have to also be considerate of the abuser. We have to be considerate of their mental awareness and how they're going to recover. How are they going to be able to function in society once they get out of jail? How are they going to be able to retrain their mind from that negative sexual behavior? So not only did I start speaking out against child abuse, but I also start trying to raise awareness of people who have been impacted with negative sexual behavior and how they need help, how they need to be able to be comfortable telling people that they have these thoughts in their mind that makes them want to abuse children, but they want help. So just as much as we need support systems for victims, we need to equally have support systems for people who are dealing with these wants and needs in their mind to abuse children. So I hope that people can eventually understand if we don't all help each other in every aspect that we can, then we're all going to fail together.
Right. I was going to ask you something. What other kids have you spotted me around?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question.
What other kids have your father been around? He had a daycare at some point, so tell us a little bit about
that. He had a daycare center in Akron, Ohio called Morning Glories. He owned that for various years. And now he is the owner of Lathan Access Technologies, and he has a contract with the county schools so children with handicaps or disabilities could be bused to his facility for private sessions, for tutoring, or different advancements to help them be able to excel in society. And it's a wonderful cause. The problem is that he's a pedophile and he should have no access to children.
So that's, I mean, obviously one of your biggest concerns is that he still has access to a lot of children, and he has for years. So by you getting your message out here, you're hoping that other kids will speak up and speak out about it.
I'm hoping that victims of any pedophile is able to get encouragement to speak out, to seek therapy, to do everything they can to fight for their life back. A pedophile can take your childhood. They can't take your future unless you allow them to. I try not to focus on my father when I do my events or even my various speaking events because it's not about my father. It's not about me. I try to send a very clear message. I use my life story as an example. But all of my efforts is to raise awareness across the platform that pedophiles are out there on their job 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what their name is or what family they belong to. The fact is that we know they are out there. And if we don't teach our children that any abuse is wrong, especially if it's from a loved one, a person that they already knew, then we have to understand that they are going to go out there into the real world and they're going to accept abuse from anyone if that's what they were taught at home.
Right. Right now, I want to just take a quick break for a minute and play a song and a couple of commercials, and then we'll be right back. So hang tight with us, and we'll be right back, Charney.
What's your cats up to, man? Up to home. You know what I'm saying? This is talking about life, you know what I mean?
Every day's a struggle, you know what I'm
saying? Constant struggle, you know?
Constant struggle,
I get it. I understand that, you know? Gotta keep moving, you know?
Success, you know?
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell.
Everybody fresh but broke like me. Wish that I could fall like them ballers on the street. Living the everyday landline. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get mine. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and greed. Murder, between Satan and me. And all them problems that it come with, it's more than one need. Me, been the rest of mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bags when you out them all. Send it back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Cartier frame with the diamond chips. Just bought a new whip, can it paint a double dip? Every day a hustle. I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
Distress in my eyes, 15 to 20.
25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk it, hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listening to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I flip flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I did it. Prove it, showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking until you ski.
Keep stroking.
Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. Just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
It's the Book Reads by author Donna Buchanan. The name of the book, Second Chance Running, will be released in paperback and on ebook on September the 30th, 2013. It's a powerful story to learn from. Released from prison July 4th, 2013. She is now educating our youth and others after spending 13 years in prison. She is a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, ran by Rob and Lucinda Boyd. She became a member while in prison. For more information, go to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. The hottest, the hottest, the hottest newspaper in Arizona. Buckeye Valley News. Buckeye Valley News. Buckeye Valley News. If you'd like to advertise, contact Sharon at 623-386-4426. That's 623-386-4426. And say, the streets don't love you back. Sent you. Coming this September the 14th, 2013, it's the Streets Don't Love You Back Domestic Violence Awareness Day. Our goal is to educate our youth about the dangers of gang violence, drugs, abuse, and that there are many alternatives to street life. This day is to network, helping others against the abuse. The Streets Don't Love You Back movement help and educate all year round. We will be collecting clothes, jackets, blankets, underwear, socks, backpack, and hygiene products for the domestic violence shelters. Please let us know if we have to pick up, or you can send your donations to P.O. Box 1093, Maricopa, Arizona 85139. That's P.O. Box 1093, Maricopa, Arizona 85139. The Streets Don't Love You Back Domestic Violence Awareness Day. This September the 14th, 2013. The walk starts 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., starting at the top level boxing gym. It's the Streets Don't Love You Back Domestic Violence Awareness Day, September the 14th, 2013. Sponsored by the Streets Don't Love You Back Movement, Youth Block, the top level boxing gym, the Phoenix Boys and Girls Center, the Black Information Highway, and JCS 2364.
Yo, this your man T-Rob, the Quiet Giant, and you are listening to The Streets Don't Love You Back with Rob and Lucinda Boyd. We Global Blunt Entertainment Universal, baby. Don't forget that, you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And we're still here tonight with our guests. And just want to say, you know, I heard your story earlier and with Koji. So just want to give Koji and his team, Jay, and them a shout out for having you on their show today. And just give the parents and the young kids out here some advice dealing with this abuse.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
I said just get the kids and adults some advice with this abuse.
Oh, okay. I would...
I would tell parents the same thing I tell kids. Don't keep secrets. A lot of families still hold on to that old saying, what happens in my house stays in my house. And they not only teach their children that, they believe it themselves. And a lot of times, adults don't realize when they are being abusive, whether it's verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual, emotional. Because when you're the only person in your home, and you don't have another person to point the finger or to analyze what you're doing and give you feedback, then that adult in that home may honestly believe that they're a good parent or they're a good role model or that they're raising a child in a productive home. I tell parents when I meet them the same thing I tell these kids. Talk to other people about your daily routine, about what happens in your life with your kids. It's always good to have feedback from your community about what happens in your daily routine because you may not know that you are impacting your child in a negative way. They don't realize that their actions 20 years flash forward could mean that child is going to be on the news for selling drugs or for killing or for raping another child. I will also tell kids, don't keep secrets. Pedophiles do not just go directly into a level 10. It starts off at a level 1, a level 2. There's different parts of the grooming process. I make sure I try to talk to my kids every single day about various things that happen in my day. I try to make sure I have those conversations with them about all different topics so that I can practice and teach them how to have a conversation and put everything on the table. And I ask those questions, I prone, because I want my kids to get used to being open and answering honestly about different things going on in their lives. For parents and adults, I would tell them communication is the best advice for any situation. Communicate about what's going on in your life on all levels, on all topics. Because it truly takes a village, not just to raise a child, but to make sure that the person raising that child is the right person to do it. So you need to be able to communicate with people so that there can be a checks and balances, so that we can make sure that we're growing a productive village and not create a destructive mob. I would tell children, make sure that you tell anybody in your life about anything that's going on in your life. Because a child is not going to understand the grooming process because it's going to be so subtle and so simple because it's not meant for them to catch on to understand that they're being prepped to be raped later. When my children come home, sometimes they'll tell me, well, we were at the store and this man tried to buy me a sucker, because they know I want to know about everything that happened during your day, even something as simple as someone trying to buy you candy, but after you said no 3 times, they keep asking you. That's when you need those checks and balances to understand, well, that's awkward. That's not normal.
Right.
Communication is my advice for anybody of any age.
Right, and we talked about this earlier, too, breaking that chain of pain, and you said that your father had been abused as a child, and maybe his father, too, but there comes a point when, as an adult, you do know right from wrong, and even as a kid. And at some point, where do you say, I'm not going to do that, or I'm you know, I'm going to be an abuser, or I'm going to, you know, when are you going to break that chain of pain and that cycle of abuse?
Certainly. But it's,
right,
to be able to break that cycle, people have to be comfortable talking about what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their mind. It's very hard for people of any economic background, any social background, of any race. It's very hard for people to be able to communicate what they're actually thinking without getting backlash for it. When I went through this experience 9 months ago, I had no idea what I would experience by telling people that I was abused. But what I want people to understand is the flip side to it. Can you imagine being a child who was abused when you were young, and then your mind had to accept the abuse so that you could survive, so that you can cope with what you went through? And that same child accepts the abuse as okay. And they grow up into an adult to believe that it's okay to abuse other children. So now we have an adult who may have never sexually abused anyone, but they have those thoughts in their mind to repeat the abuse that they went through. As hard as it was for me to come forward and speak out about my personal experience, can you imagine how hard it would be for a person to come out and tell people, I have thoughts of sexually molesting children and I want help? Because I caught backlash for saying I was a victim.
Right.
From strangers and family. I get negative feedback all the time. I have people who will fight me tooth and nail and say I'm a liar and I don't sound traumatic enough and I don't look and talk and walk as if I've been abused, and I have people who tell me that I wanted this to happen, and I get a lot of different feedback. Some people say, just go kill yourself. Can you imagine being a person coming out saying, I have thoughts of sexually abusing children and I want help? Imagine what kind of backlash they would get. Unfortunately, our society has groomed us as a community of any race, any economic background, any social background, our society frowns upon people who say they want help. Our society looks down at them as if they're weak. Our society calls you crazy if you're going to a therapist.
Yeah.
We can't expect to get anything accomplished if the only thing we're doing is looking at everything one-sided. Because as soon as you send that pedophile to jail, when they come back out, they're going to continue molesting children.
So in therapy, what did you learn about the pedophile? The pedophile, to me, seems more like a power and control situation. What are they telling you in therapy?
Well, I have a wonderful therapist, and she doesn't really believe in grouping or even really giving a specific thing, a specific title, because every case, every person, every incident is unique to its own. And it depends on what that person had went through, what their coping mechanism was. I don't believe that any child was born with the idea to molest other children. Something had to happen to that child for their mind to become unprogrammed and accept that abuse into a database. It could have been that child was touched wrong or abused in a certain kind of way. You never know what specifically triggered that idea in their mind. But whatever it is that triggered that defect, it's a social problem.
So do you believe that pedophiles or all pedophiles have been sexually molested, or do you believe that at some point in their life they just decide that I'm attracted to younger children, or I, you know, or did they go to the power and control that they can, you know, have power and control over people, or both?
I believe it's a variety of things. I believe it depends on that particular person and what they went through. I don't believe that any person was born with the idea to molest children. I don't think anyone would just be 5 years old and say, you know, I want to molest my little brother. I do believe that some people do it for the power and control. But you can control a grown woman. You can rape a grown woman. But to specifically choose a child, it has to be more than just a want and need to have power and control over a person. It doesn't have to specifically be sexual abuse that they went through that made them attracted to children particularly. Abuse of any kind is a trickling and domino effect to other abuse.
That's true. Yeah, and like we said before, you know, people know right from wrong, whether they've been abused or they haven't been abused. You know, there's right and there's wrong. You got to know the boundaries. And that's why people don't, well, maybe they don't tell because they're threatened, but I don't know.
Some people
just,
don't
they
tell because they know it's wrong, like you said.
Right.
Like, I completely believe that the want, the need to sexually abuse children, the pedophilia behavior, I do believe that it's a sickness. I do believe that it is a mental illness, just like all other mental illness. But with any action, with any negative action that a person commits, no matter what their illness is, when they choose to not seek treatment for their mental illness, that's when you become accountable for your negative action. At that moment when you realize what I am doing is wrong and you do not accept responsibility for your actions, you do not seek treatment, you hide what you've done, you lie about what you did, you threaten the victim. At that moment when you choose to conceal your sickness and you choose to not get treatment, that's when you have to be held accountable and responsible for your actions. It's just as if a person loses it and go kill another person. They can go to court and plead mentally insane at the time. And they may not be held accountable for their actions during a mental breakdown. But if that same person goes back to the scene of the crime, cover up the evidence, move the body to another location, now you're accountable for what you've done because you knew what you did was wrong and you chose to not get help. You chose to continue the abuse. Unfortunately, our society wants people to believe that there is no recovery for pedophilia behavior. I don't believe that. There's organizations like SASH, S-A-S-H. Their organization is dedicated to the research and the support of reforming people who have negative sexual behavior so that they can get help before they commit these actions. But they also help people who have already abused other people. My question for society is, how come those organizations aren't working hand in hand with the reform process for prison? The truth
like
is that there's no money in
They don't want to admit that they're a pedophile or that they have those feelings. So, you know, they're not responsible because they don't admit it usually prior to. They don't admit it until after they're caught.
That's true, cases. But there's also people who seek treatment, who ask for help, who may not have the insurance coverage, who may not be able to get that treatment covered through the government when they're asking for help. And then when they can't get the treatment that they seek to repress that negative sexual behavior, they end up abusing other children. And then they're jailed. Their life is ruined because of a mental illness that they tried to get help for, but the government doesn't have any type of benefit package when you're asking for help. There's no money in helping pedophiles. And then their life is ruined. It would make more sense for organizations like SASH to be included as a mandatory reformation process for these prisoners when they get out of jail. It would make sense that organizations like SASH are fully 100% covered by the government for anybody who has a need and want to abuse children. Out of all the programs that our government pays for and puts money into, birth control and everything else, the number one problem with our future, with our society, is children growing up abused. So wouldn't it make sense that people who want to abuse children should be able to get free help when they ask for it before they destroy our children and destroy our future? Wouldn't it make sense that when they do get out of prison, that treatment is already included in our tax dollars since we are paying for highways and everything else? You know, I would rather see on my tax return that I'm paying to keep a pedophile away from my kids.
Yeah.
There's so many different aspects to what's wrong with the system. And the thing that I hate the most is I used to say the same thing a lot of people say. I used to say that our system is broken. The truth is that for our system to be broken, that means that we programmed the system to do a specific task, and then there was a malfunction. The reality is that our system is doing exactly what we told our system to do. When people fail to vote, they fail to have a voice, they fail to show concern and support representatives who are actually going to reflect our needs and our wants for our children. When we fail to tell the system what to do, we can't blame the system for it being broke.
Right.
Because everything that's in place is everything that the people who are concerned about their opinions, they told the system what to do. And the system is doing exactly what it was told. So in my opinion, I don't think the system's broke. I think the system needs some new direction. But we have to have enough people who's willing to rewrite the program and tell the system what we want it to do now.
That's right. People have to get out here. I mean, the people are the ones that make the laws and put it into play, you know. People are the ones that vote, and, you know, people have to get more involved and understand who they're voting for and what they're voting for and what laws mean and different things like that.
Exactly.
You can't sit back and do nothing and expect it to happen the way you want it. You have to stand up for what you want and stand up for what you believe and get out there and make a difference.
Exactly. When I started this process 9 months ago, I just assumed that the system worked a certain kind of way. And then I got upset because it didn't do what I wanted to do. The system didn't respond as swiftly and as compassionately as I wanted it to. And then I had to look back on what have I done to tell the system what I need. Amazing how you have people who are, let's say, for example, same-sex relationships. They look at the laws where they live at. They look at what's important in their life, what is going to give them peace and happiness, and they move to areas that have laws that will support their lifestyle and support what they need for growth and comfort and happiness. When we bought our home, when we bought our home in 2007, we looked at the neighborhood. We looked at how people kept up their yard. We looked at crime. We looked at a lot of different things. Looking back on that experience now, we didn't look to see how many pedophiles lived in our neighborhood. We didn't look to see what are the laws in our state in case there was an experience with our children or something in our lifestyle that was important to us. Do we live in a state that is going to support our beliefs and our needs? It's amazing how we overlook so many simple things until we're going through that life event. But what's worse is when people go through that life event and they're still blaming the system for being broken. But there's no action on their part to change what they don't like. That's the problem that I'm having, is there are a lot of people who get upset with things going on in their lives, but then they just continue being upset. And there's the lack of action. And a lot of people, I hope, can understand what I want people to gain from me speaking out. I want people to understand that the lack of action is equally negative to the actions that's making your life hell. If you choose to do nothing to fix your problem, then you are aiding and abetting the very problem that's ruining your life.
And then again, though, you run into people not believing you, and even when you went to file reports, you had police officers that didn't even want to talk to you because they knew your father, is what
exactly.
I understood.
Right. I've gone through so many different variables of just this case being inconvenient because there's too many kids involved, or the fact that my father is rich, or the fact that he knows the law and sues people for a living. It's just, when I really looked at my personal situation and my very abuser and me in the situation and how everything came into play, it just made me want to go back to school. It made me want to look into law. It made me want to think about, where am I living? And do I live in a state that supports my lifestyle? Do I want to continue being a victim of laws that I didn't do anything to change? You know, everybody is going through their own personal experience, and everybody's experience is unique to its own, but every person has the option to change the next experience for our future generation. And when people choose to sit back and do nothing, then you're basically handing your children over to the wolves. Because I know one day I'm going to get old, and I'm going to wear diapers, and I'm going to want my kids to be around to wipe my behind. You know, I don't want to be old sitting in my own poop and pee all day long. I need for my kids to not be in jail or not be robbing people or doing all these different things that negatively affect our community when we fail our children. You know, I need my kids to be able to grow up safe and comfortable and strong and educated. So I can't sit back and fail to commit to action because I want my children to grow up in a better tomorrow. But I don't want to wait until somebody else does it. You know, that's what I hope people can really understand, is that we don't have rights to our children. We are responsible for our children. We don't have a right to mistreat them verbally, physically, or any kind of way. But we are responsible for them growing up, not just to have food, water, and clothing. We're responsible for them to grow up and be mentally sound and secure.
Right. Well, and it takes people like you, strong people, people that can break that chain and say, you know what, the cycle stops here, no more, because I'm not going to allow my kids to go through that or my grandkids to go through that. And so I'm going to stand up and be a loud voice, although all the adversity and people don't believe you and people, you know, say what they say, you know, people talking about you, people are calling you a liar, people, you know, they're afraid to step forward. But you're standing firm and speaking out and deciding not to be silent anymore. And eventually, a lot of other people are going to stand up with you and say, yes, I was in his day, you know, in his day's preschool or daycare or whatever, and I remember inappropriate touches, or I remember this, or I remember that. And eventually, one by one, they're going to start standing up with you.
The sad thing is that
standing up.
I appreciate that. The sad thing is that we live in a society where people do not want to be responsible. They don't want to be responsible for how their actions are going to ruin their children later. Even when children are being abused and the parent chooses to not get them therapy, the parent chooses to do everything except address the actual abuse. They don't want to be responsible for knowing that they just raised the next future pedophile who's going to grow up and think it's okay because they never were taught that abuse is wrong. We live in a society where people do not want to be responsible for the future of their children or other people's children. I have friends who love their children dearly and can't get a person to babysit their child just so that they can go to work to be able to provide food and clothing for their kids. The idea of a village, taking a village to raise a child, but you also need a village to have checks and balances on those adults.
That
seems like such a far-fetched dream, the idea. The idea of a village seems as if it's some type of folk tale that you heard a long time ago, but, you know, it seems so unrealistic and unimaginable and unattainable. And the truth is that for us to have a village, all we have to do is one simple thing. We just have to communicate.
Right.
We have to be able to honestly tell people what is going on in our lives. When I was suicidal, I didn't want to tell my doctor. I didn't want to tell my therapist. I was scared. I was afraid they're going to take my kids. They're going to lock me up somewhere and drug me up, and who knows what's going to happen. But people have to love their children and love other people's children enough to do whatever you need to do to make sure that you are mentally sound and fit to be around these children. And I had to take that chance. I had to call my doctor and tell them, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. I had to call my therapist and say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what's going on. Because I have checks and balances in my life. I have enough people in my life that I'm comfortable being honest with, because I know even if I don't like their feedback or even if I don't like their next action, I know that whatever happens next, they're going to do it, because 100% they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure my children are safe. And unfortunately, when we have people in our community come to us crying, begging, asking for help, saying that they're going through these issues and they need us to do something, to be responsible for them, more people will turn away, go in their home, lock their door, and pray, and do absolutely nothing to help their neighbor because they don't want to be responsible for somebody else. But then we'll watch the news and see that very person who was begging for help on the 9 o'clock news for killing their child because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
It's a sick cycle, but the problem is that people need to communicate and be responsible when you get that information that someone is asking for help. Because we're accountable.
Years ago, you used to know your neighbors, and you used to, like you said, it takes a village to raise a child. People help each other, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, everybody. You know, if a kid is acting out, some adult was going to correct them, and you're going to listen. And then it came to years later where, with drugs and different things, that neighbors, they peek out their curtains and they see what's going on, but they close those curtains and they don't open their doors and they don't answer their doors and they don't tell on anybody because they're afraid or because they don't want to snitch or because this and that. But that very thing about not speaking up is what has destroyed so many of our neighborhoods in the, you know, in this world, because people don't stand up for what's theirs and they don't stand up for the values and the rights. And they allow these, you know, hooligans running around to take control, and everything just, you know, goes bad. You have to come back to standing up for what's right, standing up for what you believe in, and not be afraid to stand out and be that leader.
Exactly. I completely agree.
So tell us a little bit about your organization that you started, Through a Child's Eyes, Who Cares?
Well, Through a Child's Eyes, Who Cares is a charity that I thought of about 2 years ago, and I was working with my therapist to be able to build the strength and prepare to be able to report my father, and I just felt that I hadn't gone through all of those experiences to not make it of any value. So I thought of what allowed me to be victimized. I thought of the problem that my father experienced being sodomized as a child and not getting help and in turn becoming a pedophile himself. I thought about all these different reasons why the abuse continues. And I came up with a very simple idea. A very simple message. Through a child's eyes, I want people to understand what children are going through in their world with no adult consideration. You know, in my situation, there were so many different reasons why the abuse was allowed to continue in my family. But all of those reasons had nothing to do with the child. All of those reasons were because of something going on with an adult, either it being inconvenient or it was going to affect their relationships or affect their business, or they were going to lose income if they didn't support this person or if they did support this person. It was all these different explanations, but none of them had anything to do with the child. And that's when I thought of the idea, I want the world to be able to just get to a place where they can just focus on seeing what these children see, understanding what they experience, and not making any excuse for why they did not act on it. And that's why I asked, who cares? I asked, who cares, because I'm asking our community, if you care about our children, don't say it. Don't tell me you care, because words without action is irrelevant. You don't need to tell anybody that you care about your children. You know, when I'm walking down the street with my kids or if I'm at the park, I don't have to tell people I'm a good mother for them to see that I'm a good mother. It shows in your actions. If you care about these children, then you're going to do something. When your friend comes to you and tell you that they're going through a hard time and they need help with their kid and they need your support, you're not going to say, well, I love you, I'm here for you. You're going to actually show them by committing to some type of action, being responsible for helping someone. So Through a Child's Eyes is a newly formed child abuse awareness campaign, and I established it on behalf of the growing child abuse epidemic. It's a global movement designed to magnify international awareness of child safety and prevention of child abuse. I basically say that the safety of our children is the heart and soul of this movement. It's a powerful campaign dedicated to enlightening the community and raising awareness of child safety and prevention of child abuse. I hope that the community can respond with swift and compassionate action to end child abuse. When children are silently experiencing their pain alone in the darkness, they wonder, who cares? Who cares about their hurt and pain? When we all look through a child's eyes and truly understand their agonies, then we will show through our action in unison that we care and we will end child abuse. I ask people a very simple statement. Do you support pedophiles or do you support our children? When I thought of this charity, I wanted it to be very simple, black and white, because a lot of people fall in the gray. They fall in the middle. They like to hold on to the fence because it's comfortable. When you draw that line in the middle and you point your finger to the other side and you tell them, I'm coming after you, you have to pick a side. Either you're on the side of pedophiles or you're on the side of kids. You can't support children and tell a child that you support them, you're going to keep them safe, but you don't get out and vote on laws to keep children safe. You don't go to the school and help with their safety campaigns to make sure that your children walk home safe. There's a lot of different ways that people choose to stay on the fence and choose to stay in the gray. And that's by them speaking their opinions, but they fail to show any action of them actually supporting our children and supporting our community. And that's when you're supporting pedophiles. If you're not doing and committing to an action to keep these kids safe, then your lack of action is aiding and abetting a pedophile. And at that point, you're on the wrong side of the fence. At that point, I'm pointing my finger at you, and I'm letting you know I have a problem with you. And until you come to this side and you actually show in a action that you are doing everything you can to keep our kids away from predators, then I'm going to look at you and treat you just as if you're a pedophile, because the lack of action is equally negative to a pedophile knocking on my child's door and asking to take them for ice cream.
That's right. And you don't even have to be a pedophile. I mean, because a woman can be an abuser as well, a sexual abuser too. It's still a pedophile, but anybody can sexually abuse or molest another person, and, you know, it's still wrong.
Exactly.
And people need to speak up about it. So, Sharnay, what do you want to happen with your father, and what would you like to tell your father if he were to be here tonight?
Well, I'm sure he's listening because he stalks every single thing I do in my life. But what I want is for him to be responsible for what he's done. I want him to be accountable for the abuse that he's inflicted on me and other people. I want him to be kept away from children. He does need to have a consequence for the abuse that he's inflicted on me. He do need to go to jail. He needs to do his time like everybody else who committed a crime. And he needs to seek treatment when he get out. And that treatment needs to be available and open for him and anyone who has a negative sexual behavior. But what I want more so is for victims to be able to see that it's okay to live your life and no longer carry the shame of someone else. And that's what I want for any person, no matter what they've gone through, any kind of abuse. Any situation that a person comes across in life, I think that message could speak to any person. Never carry another person's shame. It's too heavy. You have your own baggage.
That's right. So
what
do you
hope that he can find peace in the end.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever find peace with the things that he's allegedly done, but definitely it's not a very pretty picture.
No. I mean, I read in the Bible somewhere that it says, in so many words, it basically tells you that you will die the life that you live. And if you think of any person's lifestyle, but especially if you rape children in your life, the idea of dying the life that you live sounds like hell.
That's for sure. So with your organization, and what are some of the goals that you have? And, you know, I know that you go out and do speaking, and that you're willing to go out and talk to groups. Tell us a little bit more about what your goals are, and kind of maybe where you want to take it.
Well, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, Lucinda. I feel like I'm living my life for the first time in my life. I feel like at 30 years old, when I made my report, that was the first day of the rest of my life.
Well,
I am blessed.
A big weight off of your shoulders.
Huh?
You lifted a big weight off of your shoulders by letting that go.
I lifted a 200-pound man's worth of shame off of my shoulders because I was carrying him and carrying everything that he had inflicted on me. And I'm a tiny person, you know. That was too much for me to carry. But any amount of shame for any person to carry is a heavy load. And ever since I made my report, I feel like I'm 18. I feel like I'm just now being free, being grown. I have my whole life ahead of me. I want to pursue comedy. I want to pursue doing more social awareness events. But I'm looking forward to learning. I'm looking forward to growing. I'm looking forward to working with other organizations. My organization, Through a Child's Eyes, Who Cares, it's a charity. And I'm in no rush to format it to a nonprofit yet because I really want to take my time to spend more time in my community and find out where my niche is exactly and really understand what the community want of me particularly and how I can best benefit my community and also help other organizations. So right now in my life, I'm just looking forward to the process of growing, and I'm back in school for various things. I'm going to pursue law. I'm going to pursue human services. I feel like I don't necessarily know exactly where I'm going to end up at, but I know I'm going to enjoy the ride.
That's nice. At least you're doing something and you're moving forward. You know, you're
it feels like
get
in the past 9 months, it feels like I've done everything. And it's funny it's funny because it's a joke that my therapist would have where she doesn't like to attach labels to people. So for the longest, I kept trying to convince her, I have OCD. I kept telling her, I'm compulsive, I'm controlling. I have OCD. And she kept telling me, no, you just haven't found what you're good at yet. And I'm thinking, okay, now, this is my therapist. She crazy. She don't know what she's talking about. And then once I spoke out and started raising awareness for child safety, that compulsive habit that I have turned into me being compassionate for something that I love. So it's so funny because when you don't recognize what your purpose is, what your God-given purpose is, then people can put labels on you and make you feel as if something's wrong with you. But truly the only thing wrong with you is that you haven't found what you're good at. You haven't found your purpose in life. That's why you're all over the place. So once I found my purpose in life, what somebody would have called OCD or a overly compulsive disorder, it's funny because now I do the same exact things in the same exact manner, but now people say, isn't she driven? And I think it's so hilarious.
You're driven.
And that's how it
that.
Is once you find out what you're good at.
Yeah, and you're passionate about it because you lived it. And what better person, you know, to do that than somebody that's actually gone through it and lived it and understands it?
I feel blessed. I feel blessed that I can walk, I can talk, I can communicate what I went through, and I can openly help other people share some of that experience and hope that they can grow from it. Because I meet people, children and adults, men and women, who are not able to even communicate what they went through. And I feel that it's a blessing that God saw me through all of those things, but still kept my mind in a sacred place, that I didn't grow up, that I didn't grow up having a lack of compassion. You know, I feel like I still have a considerable amount of compassion for victims and abusers, because I understand we have to be considerate of all aspects of this dynamic or we're not going to get anywhere.
That's true. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, tell us what website you want to give out.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what websites do you want to give out?
Okay, well, all of my information is pretty much covers everything on social media. Through a Child's Eyes, Who Cares is abbreviated as T as in Thomas, A as in Apple, C as in Charlie, E as in Edward, Who Cares. So for my Facebook, it's Taste Who Cares. My Twitter is Taste _ Who Cares. My website is tastewhocares.com. My email is tastewhocares@gmail.com. And YouTube is Taste Who Cares. So I think I did a very good job covering everything consistently. You know, it's not because I have OCD, it's because I'm driven and focused.
Well, why?
But everything is under Taste Who Cares.
That's right. So, well, you know, I know that you've gone through a whole lot, you know, these last few months, and I know, you know, I think the last 3 weeks or so, I think a lot of things are opening up for you, and you realize what you have to do, and you know, I know that in the last 2 weeks you've been on, I don't know how many shows and interviews and stuff, spreading your message, so I know it's just going to get better from here. And I know that you're going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And, you know, like you said, once you find your niche, exactly what you want to do, you know, you're going to do great things.
I'm just excited to be able to live my life and be who I always was intended to be, but was too ashamed to tell the world. And the funny thing about it is that my family and friends have been trying to convince me to do amateur stand-up comedy forever. And I was too afraid to get up on a stage and do my skit and tell jokes. But then I go blurt out to the whole world the most horrific life that I live. And so it's only befitting that, you know, I make people cry and want to go jump off a roof, and then hopefully I can make them laugh and cry and laugh and cry, and then we both can feel crazy together.
That's right. You know, and I hear that a lot, too. People that have gone through so much pain and struggle, you know, a lot of them become comedians, and you know, maybe they can laugh at the things that they've learned or the things that they've gone through, but... And maybe it helps you heal from those things, but it's amazing that happens.
You have to smile, you have to laugh, you have to find the comedy in every ounce of pain. Like, I think it's hilarious that my father actually thought that he was going to put me through all that abuse and that I was never going to say anything. I think it's funny that abusers really believe that they're going to get away with this.
Right. And they do.
they believe that until they find out that the joke is on them.
Yeah. Well, we need more people to stand up and speak out. So we have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and take this call, area code 702. Caller, you're on the line.
Hi, can you hear me clear?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Jay. I'm Koji's producer, producer of Hands Off Our Children, Conversations with Koji, and Living for the City through radio shows. I just wanted to call in and give you, Boyd and Lucinda, all of our blessings and prayers, and we thank you for connecting us with Ms. Charnay. Hi, Ms. Charnay.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on earlier.
Oh, good. Oh, we were so blessed to have you on our show, Hands Off for Children, today. You did such a great job and, you know, just sharing your story with us and our listeners as well. And we just really appreciate you being on. And right now, Koji's actually, he's being tugged in so many directions. He wanted to call in, but he's at his kids' function. So, you know, he wanted to make sure that I called into the show and give you and Boyd and Lucinda all of our love from the Hands Off Our Children team. So we do appreciate you sharing your story with our listeners as well, and keep up the good work and keep that message out there alive to help others.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. I really do.
And
I have somebody for you, you guys jumped right on it, and we appreciate that too. And you know, her story is so important to get out there. So thank you for getting her on as soon as you could.
Oh, definitely. You know, and it just sometimes hearing your message might hit one person's soul. You know, at least one person to help save them. You know, that's what's or to speak out. That's so important. So, and Koji definitely wanted to have you part of our show, you know, because him as a father, you know, he can help, you know, some with his voice even be there for people, the fatherless, you know, I believe, you know, and all the strong fathers, he and Boyd, you know, he's one of those men that really pulls the men together, brothers in arms, like he says. So, you know, we do appreciate you coming on and for allowing us to share your story.
Thank you. And it's great to hear what you said, even about just being able to get that message out there to just touch even just that one person. It could be that one person who has a negative sexual behavior and they may have been afraid to come forward and get help. It could be that child who's being abused who may not say anything, and then they grow up and become a pedophile themselves. That one person could save hundreds of children, because the average pedophile will molest 365 children in their life. It could be that one victim out there, or that one person with a negative sexual behavior. It could be that one person who's at a crossroads who may hear that message and not become a pedophile later. So that
right.
one person could essentially save 400 kids alone by just being able to get that message from having shows on like what you guys both do. So I'm honored to be able to reach just that one, because I know we're essentially saving hundreds of children with each person that we reach.
And you know, Koji's a beast about that, and just protecting, you know, the children and going after these pedophiles and monsters, you know. And actually, I have Miss Peaches here with me, so I wanted to pass the phone over to her. She
yes.
wants to give you some too. Hey, family, how are you all?
Great. Nice to hear from you again.
I just wanted to, you know, give my love to you guys and tell you guys thank you again, and let Charnay know you really affected myself as well as everybody else. And I've been getting a lot of texts and stuff from people about how you broke it down and you really opened their eyes about different things that maybe they overlooked in their childhood or overlook with their kids. And you did a really great job
bringing all that awareness.
I'm glad I helped. I'm glad that you both have your shows to be able to have that platform available because, you know, like Cody said earlier, your shows may be the only voice in the home of reason because in my home, I didn't have that. You know, my mother only had access to me 4 days out of the month, and she barely saw me during that time. If I could have had access to a show like yours or like Lucinda and Boyd, I may not have gone through one more incident of abuse. It could be that child at home who hears your show, who this show could save them from that next second of abuse that could ruin their life forever.
You're absolutely right about that, and it's so important for strong voices like yours to be heard on any platform that's positive, like the two shows that you've done today. And Big Brother Boyd and my sister Lucinda, you guys are doing a great job. I love your guys' show as well because you really hit on so many different things, and it's such a great back and forth between Koji and you guys doing this and helping people and just bringing so much awareness and having ladies that, like you said, Sharnay, you know, if you had had something to hear like this, it could have saved you at an earlier time, you know, but you're a strong woman that's a strong voice for all right now. But I wanted to definitely give my shout outs to Boyd and Lucinda. Thank you guys.
Yeah, we want to thank you, Miss Peaches and Jay, for even, you know, allowing us to, you know, be a voice, you know, and have a platform. And with you and Koji and Jay and Peaches doing the same thing on your end, platforms like this, it helps save lives and it helps get the message out there. So it's an honor to network with good people and like-minded.
It's a family thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, so we appreciate y'all calling in and tell Koji we send our love to him and his little queen over there and tell him enjoy his night with him.
Okay, for sure.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And God bless all of you and Ms. Sharnay on your journey to bring this message across.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I definitely keep you guys in my prayers because I know every time you air, you're saving lives in one way or another.
All right, thank you. We're going to put you guys on hold. We have another call, and that's another area code 702. We got Vegas in the house, I think. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Cozy's in the house.
Hey.
What's up? How y'all doing tonight?
We're awesome. How are you?
Oh, I'm just making it home. I've been in my daughter's function. I was racing home, got my car in the garage. I said, let me call real quick because I'm in a good zone where my phone won't die out.
That's right. Good. Well, you
yeah. Okay, Sharnay, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is my third interview today.
God bless you then. You're doing great. You are doing great.
I'm excited to be able to speak, talk, and walk and function, and I'm not out here killing folks. So.
You know that's right, definitely.
I'm doing Brother good.
Boy. Oh, you know, that's right. Brother Boy, what's up with you, man?
Hey, what's up, Coach G, man? Yeah, your team, Peaches and Miss J just called in and showed they love, you know what I mean? And we appreciate you stepping in, man, you know, racing to the finish line, you know. And,
man,
you know, wanted to say we appreciate you for putting her on your platform today, man. And we networking and cross-networking and helping save lives, man, and with these big platforms we have, I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, you don't have to wait on no public radio station now, or you don't have to just go in and do all that, man. You can just click one button and you global, you know what I mean? So I just
want
to thank God for these two global platforms that reaches out, man, and just want to give you a big shout-out. You know, Koji from Las Vegas in the house.
I appreciate it, man. You know, like I said, anything I can do for y'all. And, you know, hey, that's why I told my team, look, I ain't going to be able to call because it's so loud where I was at the gym with my daughter. So
right.
I was like, can y'all call for me? Are they still on the phone?
No, they just left before you came in. But while you're on the show, G, I want you to give the listeners, man, the times that your shows come on and, you know, for they to tune in, man. So go ahead and take that moment.
Okay, I appreciate that. Conversations with Koji every Monday from 2 to 5 on KLAV 1230 AM. The Hands Off Our Children radio show every Wednesday from 1 to 4 on VegasOnNetRadio.com. Living for the City radio show every Monday from 7 to 9 at night. So, what else I got going on? I got so much going on, I can't even remember right now. My mind is so, man, I've had a long day today. You know, and, you know, we also filming and, you know what I'm saying, doing PSAs with, you know, the HandsOffOurChildren.org radio show, organization. And we're doing a lot of stuff, man, documentaries. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff already filmed that ain't out yet. We got it on the shelf. We're going to start putting it out once a month. So we got another new PSA that's coming out next month. So they'll be coming out for a long time, man. I done shot a lot of stuff, produced, direct, wrote, you know what I'm saying, everything, me and my team. So a lot of stuff, man. That's why I just definitely want to be awareness out here, man, and, you know, keep that fire going to let them know we coming. And I'm going to demonstrate what y'all doing so people will know. So it ain't no secret no more. I'm bringing it out. I'm snatching the sheet off what y'all doing, and people going to see how y'all function. They're going to see how y'all get down. And with all these other PSAs I got, these movie shorts I'm going to shoot, man, people are already going to see how they doing, man. We going to, you know, they already going to see how they moving. You know, it's over. Put it like this. Like I said today, y'all hunting us, but we hunting you. Title of the show. And that's all it is to it, man. And I think, you know, like I said, you and wifey, you know, Lucinda, y'all doing a great job, man. I'm proud of y'all. I'm glad, you know, y'all called me and said, hey, Coach, man, I got something for you if you want to be a part of it. Of course I want to be a part of it. If it's something that'll help move y'all forward and move the people that y'all promise y'all take care of forward, come on, man, I got you. I got you. I'm blind faith. I got you.
And you've been that way, man, from the day we met you, man. So, you know, I definitely want to just commend you just for locking down with us, man, and doing great things, man. And, you know, the best is yet to come, you know what I'm saying? Because
God
gave us these platforms to use in the right manner and in the right way, you know. So that's the great part about it, you know. You can give a person a voice where they might not even have a voice. So this technology and this media is a global thing. You know, a lot of people use it for bad, but a lot use it for good. So I want to give a big ups to all the people that use social media for the good, you know. Just keep it moving and keep doing what you're doing, not only to help self, but to help others, you know. And me and my team, we want to give Miss Donna Buchanan another shout out. You know, that's our member, and my wife will be editing her book, Second Chance Runaway. She spent 13 years in prison with a domestic violence that turned tragic, and now she's out educating and teaching the young ladies and the young men, like Koji show, say, hands off our children, but hands off people, period, because it can lead to a real tragedy, you know? So we just want to give a big shout-out to Ms. Donna Buchanan, you know?
Much love, Donna. But you know what, boy? There's something else I wanted to do for you and your wife. I definitely, if y'all can get a commercial made with Donna saying, hey, this is Donna Buchanan, you know, my new book will be coming out, and y'all shoot it to me, and y'all make it a 30-second commercial, then I'll play it off Hands Off Our Children every break.
Hey, you know what? We already got that commercial already, Koji.
Oh, well, you got to do is send in an email. Yeah, man, I'll play it every break, every commercial break. Okay, every commercial break.
My wife just did it, man. She just uploaded it the other day on YouTube. So I shoot that right at you, man. And, oh, man, boy, you something else, Koji. You never seems to amaze me, man, on how we get down, boy. You feel me?
You know what, boy? It's like this, man. God has definitely blessed me, man. And if I say I'm doing God's work, I'm supposed to do God's work. I'm supposed to bless people. See, it ain't always about money, man. You know what I'm saying? If you truly in your heart are what you about, and you know, and you tell somebody straight off the bat, I'm doing this for God, okay, well, we're going to see if you're doing it for God, because I'm going to ask you to do something right now that I can't pay you for. I want to see the God come out of you, because I really can't pay you for it right now. So I'm going to see if you really got the God in you that you say you got in you. You get what I'm saying? But see, that's
right.
Yeah,
and a guy like you, and a guy like you, you feel me? You already know what it is. You feel me? So when you came like that, you only thing you was telling me and my wife and Queen that let's cross network this thing, because I had Miss Buchanan on my show. I know the tragedy that she went through. So we gonna go ahead and make this thing a really, really big thing for her to truly educate people. And for those who haven't really heard Miss Buchanan's story yet, her thing was a tragedy, you know. And you'll be definitely looking forward to that book, September 30th, Second Chance Runaway, you know. And we appreciate that, Koji, man.
Man, no problem, man. I'm here for y'all. You know, like I said, Sharnay, if I can do anything for you, you know, you're coming on for part two. I mean, you tore it up. We left it smoking today for part one. And believe me, even the women at my radio station, they can't wait to hear part two. All the women was tuned in. They know how I get out in my show. They know I'm going to take it there. And, you know, my radio station already gave me the green light to do and say whatever I want to do, because they know I'm going to do it with class. You get what I'm saying? I ain't going
to
do nothing.
Well, I'm going to have to up my game up, because we need for those men to get on board, because, and you know, the abuse that I went through, the abuse that my father has done to others, there was no blind eye to the sex. You know, this is men and women being abused, being raped right in front of us every single day.
Right.
And men need to be comfortable knowing that they have to come forward, they have to speak out, they have to get treatment, seek help for whatever abuse they went through, because they can't lead our homes if they can't lead themselves.
That's right. You're definitely right about that. See, but you know what? Now, me and you are thinking on the same terms, because I'm going to tell you why. This next show that we got coming up, I'm not allowing no females to be on the phone. It's all men. I'm going to have all men on the phone, and I want
That's
men to
exactly
come into the studio with me.
That's what I was noticing, though. We didn't have any men callers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I definitely got men callers and people that come in the studio with me, and they really down for me. I mean, I got some serious riders for me when it comes to this situation. We hands off our children. Oh, they cocked and ready. They on one phone call, speed dial. They wherever I'm at, ready to get out, you know. That's
right.
Why I kept saying today, God forbid, me and my boys are coming out of somewhere and we look across the street and we see you trying to snatch a child and you dragging that child and that child is pulling back. Oh, by the time we get over there, oh, Jesus. Oh, pretzel with no salt. You know what I'm saying? I mean that.
That's what I'm saying.
But they are going to be alive when the police come. Definitely. They're just going to be detained, you know?
Oh, ain't no mystery.
Ain't no mystery. They're gonna be detained. Ain't nobody gonna be hurt. Ain't nobody gonna be dead. But they're gonna be detained.
So I'm gonna pass
it
over to the missus, man. But yeah, you know, we wanna thank you so much, Koji, man, for all the support you give. The Streets will love you back, and the whole team on this side, send you and your team much love always, man. And you already know anything we can do your way, you know, we got you on this end, you feel me?
Oh, yeah.
And we're just going to keep this thing popping like popcorn. And I'll shoot that to you in your inbox on Facebook tonight.
Okay. And like I said, right. And then what I do from here on out, you know, until her book come out, or even when her book's out, I'll just play it every commercial break. Every commercial break, I'll play it, you know, make sure that
we
got awareness about that.
We appreciate that, man. We appreciate that, man. And you already know what we talked about on the other level. So, yeah, we just going to take it to a whole other level, you know what I mean? Book and movie.
Right. But, you know, like I said, boy, I ain't doing this because y'all owe me none. I'm doing it because I have the platform to do it. And I own my show. I can do whatever I want to do with my show. I ain't got to ask nobody. Once my soul say, yeah, it feels good to me, it's already the question's answered. You get what I'm saying?
And that's the same way me and the missus feel on this side, you know what I mean? So it's all
love. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, like I said, you know, y'all finish having a great show. I'm going to go on and unwind, you know, to the queen. Much love. Sharnay, hey, let me tell you something. You one of the strongest women I know, and I mean that. The way you put it down today, the way you came hard, the way you didn't hold back, you know what I'm saying? Me and you, we was like a tennis match. We was back and forth, but it was about a lot of knowledge. You know, it was no buffoonery. It wasn't no cussing, and I hate this person. No. You broke it down, and you helped everybody to understand. And that's what a lot of people said about you today, was that you was easy to listen to. You wasn't bitter. You know, you didn't raise your voice. You never called him a B. You didn't say, you know, nothing like that. People and my women, a lot of women drew strength from you today. A lot of women.
I appreciate it. I mean, I have so much more to grow. I mean, I'm still healing. I've only been doing this for 9 months. So that any feedback, good or bad, I appreciate it all because I can work with all of it.
Okay.
So
I appreciate it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, like I said, you know, let's make sure that me and you talk Sunday, and I got a plan on how I want to do this show for next week. So next Sunday night, Sunday afternoon or morning, whenever, me and you will talk, and we'll set it up. And then, like I said, you're going to be on with me. I'm going to give you the whole 3 hours. I ain't even got nothing lined up. So me and you going to just talk until you say, okay, well, you know, I'm tired of talking. We're going to take it to the wire. But we are. This is definitely going to be a show like no other on this next part two. We're going to do it big.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm always ready. I mean, if you look at a professional in the career and all the education and training that they put into it before they become a success or before they can say that they have perfected their craft, I have 18 years of abuse to say that I know what I'm doing.
That's right. You're right about that. Hey, can't nobody tell your story like you can. So I'm going to go on and let y'all finish the interview on this great show that everybody should be tuned in to, listening to, because, hey, knowledge is king. And what we passing out, boy, Lucinda, knowledge, baby.
Knowledge.
You know, that's right. So, hey, love you guys, man. Y'all have a nice night. Finish enjoying the show, everybody. And, Shanae, like I said, you in my prayers, and you got a brother in Las Vegas, and I mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll be checking with you when I come to the casino.
Please do. Come on through. Come on through. Call me ahead of time. I'll make sure I'm free to kick it with you.
Sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all have a nice night. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. And we are out of time here. So just before I get off, I want to put another couple of websites out. And there's a website for rape, abuse, and incest. The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, which is also called RAIN, R-A-I-N-N, which are the initials, and that's at www.rainn.org. And then there is a National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. So if you're being abused, call a hotline, talk to somebody. Don't just let it continue. Speak up, speak out, and get some help, get some support. So, Sharnae, any last shout-outs or last words real quick?
I want to shout-out to Miss Lucinda and Boy. Thank God for having you in my life. I appreciate the experience. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm honored to have met you guys and being able to see the action behind the words. It means so much knowing what I went through. I appreciate everything that you guys do because I know that you're doing it from your heart. I know that you're doing it from your soul. I know that God is guiding you guys. And I will follow you guys through the ups and the downs. If you ever need support for something, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I stand behind you guys because I know that you're coming from a genuine place, and I can appreciate that in anyone. So I just want to thank you guys. I appreciate the opportunity. I thank God. I thank my family. I thank God for my kids for supporting me because every day when they smile and tell me that they're proud of me, that gives me the strength to be able to tell people about my life and my abuse and my kids knowing that the world knows. And what you guys are doing is going to help make that impact in our community. And I wish you guys the best of everything. I wouldn't even say luck because when you have preparation and you have opportunity, that's chemistry for luck. So you guys are already just reaping the benefits of everything you're putting out there. And I appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you so much. You know, we appreciate you for being able to be the strong person that you are and to be able to stand up and and speak out and speak up for violence. So, you know, we got you, and we're here to support you 100%. And I think you know that. You know, we talk quite often since we've met, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that we know that we don't talk about, but we know what's going on, and we're here for each other. So
I appreciate it. That's genuine love, and I feel it. I feel
Well, just keep your head up and keep moving forward and keep strong, and, you know, you're not going anywhere but up from here, and better things are going to happen. And I think the roughest times are past. You just have a lot of great things to look forward to.
I appreciate that. I really do.
All right. Well, we are going to go out tonight. We want everybody to go to our website, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. Join our social network. Put your information up. Keep in touch with us. You'll be able to find out everything that we're doing and what's going on. And with that, we are going to go out tonight with a song by a friend of ours in California, OG Suicide. And this song is Never Give Up. And just a quick background about OG Suicide. He's a West Coast rapper. His parents left him in the streets when he was 10 years old. He had to fend for himself for many years. Did the street life thing, and as a young adult, thought he was such a failure that he wanted to commit suicide, and shot himself in the head, but woke up in the hospital. So he thought, you know, I'm even a failure at that. And so then he realized at some point that God saved him for a purpose and a reason. And so now he's out sharing his story and trying to be positive and educating against teenage and young adult suicide prevention. So, and he was on our show. You can go back and archive that show too. It's a powerful story, powerful testimony as well. But this is OG Suicide and his song Never Give Up. And we want to thank everybody for your support. And, you know, we're live every Wednesday night. You can archive all of our shows 24/7. So, you know, please get in there and listen to some of the shows. We've got some great shows, a lot of awesome personal testimonies and stories. So never give up, OG Suicide. Have a great week, and we'll tune in back next Wednesday night.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect.
I love you.
You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it come to a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals, stay focused on you. Focus your view, succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home, never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get, appreciate what you got. You can always improve, just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way.